This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, and today I'm here with Chelsea Forsyth, Artistic Managing Director of Presentation House Theatre in North Vancouver, to chat about the production Peerless, which will be one of two productions featured at the Ensemble Theatre Festival taking place July 8th to 18th at the Jericho Arts Centre. Chelsea, how are you? Like, how are things?
I mean, so busy, but wonderful.
Yeah, I hear some voices in the background. I love it. That's the beauty of community radio. That's so great. So busy times. I am curious if you could share a little bit about Ensemble Theatre Festival, just for people who have never heard about it before, because I know there was a bit of a hiatus, right?
That's right. So the theater festival started in 2013, and the idea was to bring kind of a little bit more serious fare into the Vancouver summer scene. We love Tuts, we love Bart on the Beach, but the idea was to bring something that's not Shakespeare, that's not musical, that's like for your kind of play lovers, yes, into the scene in the summer. And so it's really focused on this work that is based in like really wonderful texts, right? Works, some of them a little more classical, some of them from the kind of contemporary classical canon, like Streetcar Named Desire that we're playing with, and some of them like Peerless that are much more contemporary, but that's the thing they all have in common. They're all of these like really extraordinary texts that we as artists get an opportunity to like really dig into and sink our teeth into. And so 2013, the Rep Festival started. It ran all the way to 2019. We had a festival, of course, planned for the summer of 2020. And then we were on hiatus for 2 years. We came back in 2022 with a festival and then took another hiatus while we sort of figured out some artistic leadership transitions. So mm-hmm. Tarek Leslie started the company and the festival, really wonderful artist, voice actor, actor, director, who was in town. And then after 2022, he decided to step away and he asked Chris Lamb and I if we would like to take over the artistic direction of the company. We've both been artists with the company, Chris as a director and actor, me as a director, and also as people who were kind of part of the ensemble, who helped pick the shows, who provided artistic support, even in the years that we weren't working on the shows themselves. And so it took Chris and I a while to figure out whether we wanted to revive the festival as was or make some changes. And it was actually Chris who came to me just with a really impassioned pitch for the importance of continuing to do this work, both for the audiences who, I will say, would like occasionally just email and be like, where are you guys? Are you coming back? And also for the artists who get so much working with these really wonderful scripts.
Yeah, so you got the questions, are you coming back? You are back. You are directing the production Peerless. So would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yes. So Peerless is a modern adaptation of Macbeth by Jae Park, who's a Korean-American playwright. It's from 2015, and it reimagines Macbeth if it were about high school seniors competing for early admission slots to Ivy League universities.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a lot shorter than Macbeth. It's gonna be about 90 minutes. And it's very, very funny. I think the way the poetry is like held in the language is really, really appealing, while at the same time being a very new and very contemporary thing. And if you saw 2022's Passover with us, I think it shares some kind of artistic DNA with Antoinette Nwandu's Passover in terms of how contemporary poetry is kind of embedded into the text of the show. So it features, instead of Mackers and Lady M, twin girls named M and L, who have moved by themselves to somewhere in the American Midwest in order to try to get to the college, which we all understand, although it's not named as Harvard. Right. And they have done everything they can to manipulate their way into early admission in Harvard. And when they fail, They take it, let's say, as far as Macros and Lady M take it in their quest for power. And so the show kind of transitions from what I would call a dark comedy into something that's almost got a kind of psychological horror element to it. So lots of wonderful references to Macbeth for those who know the original text, but very contemporary in its aesthetic and style.
Love, love, love that. Now, I mentioned that the other there is another production. It is A Streetcar Named Desire. And so, could you share like how the festival works? Because it's not that you would see Peerless every day, correct?
No,
Or
that's right. We alternate shows between A Streetcar Named Desire and Peerless. So we open the festival on June 10th. We have previews the 8th and 9th of Peerless and Streetcar, respectively. Then we open the festival officially on June 10th with Peerless. And then the following day will be the opening of Streetcar. And they more or less alternate dates until the following weekend, until the 19th, when we close with a 2 o'clock matinee of Peerless. And so you get an opportunity to see very contemporary work and then something from the kind of 20th century classical canon as well.
Love it. And what are you most excited about the festival this year?
I'm just so excited to share Peerless with people. I have to say, I'm very excited to see Chris and everyone's work in Streetcar as well. I was in for auditions. I know how capable and talented that cast is, but I really haven't had anything to do with that show now. So I'm so excited to see from audition to opening night how it grows. But most of all, I'm just so excited to share Peerless. This is a show where like I know who in my life is going to love which jokes, and I'm now at the point where when the artists, like when the actors are running the script, I'm like, oh, that person is going to howl at that, you know?
I love it.
So I'm just so excited to share it because it's a fun little twist and dark piece of theater in like a really joyful way, and so I'm just excited for audiences together to get to see it.
Love that. And for people who haven't been to the festival before, I would say, I guess they should go to the website to kind of get more information and stuff.
Absolutely. All of the information, including all the showtimes for the individual shows, is available at ensembletheatrecompany.ca, or available on our socials as well, on Instagram at weareTC and at Ensemble Theatre on Facebook. And so you can go there to purchase tickets, find out when the shows are, read the cast and crew bios if you're very excited, sign up for our newsletter, all of the ways that you can stay informed.
And has it always been at the Jericho Arts Center?
We did 1 year at the Waterfront Theatre, but otherwise, we've been at the Jericho Arts Centre, and we're really happy to be back there. That's really a community that's embraced the festival and is thrilled that we're back and they don't have to deal with parking on Granville Island. And given that it's FIFA, we're also really thrilled not to be dealing with parking on
You
Granville
see,
Island.
that's pertinent information, guys. Pertinent information. Before I let you go, is there anything that you want to share that maybe was missed?
I think the only thing is just that we also have a little bit of an ancillary performance for each of our Sunday matinees. So at 11 a.m., you can come to the Jericho Arts Center and see either Fistful of Crime Improv or the musician Violet Grace, depending on which show you're going to see. Pack a little lunch, pack a little picnic, come see the show at 11, go away, have your picnic in the park, eat your lunch, and then come back and see the matinee. And those are all pay what you can. So yeah, you can get tickets on our website as well, and they're pay what you can tickets.
Love, love, love that. And is okay, if anybody wanted to sort of get connected with you and some of the things that you might be doing even outside of this, are you online in the online streets at all, or are there ways to
I
connect
am,
with you
yeah. You
online?
can find me at Kelty Forsyth on Instagram and at Kelty D on Facebook. And also on the Presentation House Theatre website, which is my full-time gig. My email and stuff is there. If for some reason you needed to contact the artistic director of a theatre company, very much.
Love, love, love that. Again, everybody, Ensemble Theater Festival is taking place July 8th to 18th at the Jericho Arts Center. I will include all of the links and all of the things on the website, and there's going to be plenty of time Because once this aired, there's still plenty of time to get tickets. So I hope everybody, who loves theater, comes out.
Me too. It really is such a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kelty.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM,
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. In the early morning hours of July 7th, BC nurses escalated their current job action and formed a picket line surrounding Vancouver General Hospital in protest of current working conditions. The strike action was announced a few days prior by the BC Nurses Union, and the picket line was formed the morning after negotiations with health employers failed to progress towards a new contract. The nurses' union's current job action is due to a strike vote where over 98.2% of the over 50,000 workers involved voted in favor of job action. From the crowd amassed at the picket line on early Monday morning, that number is not surprising. CJSF went down to Vancouver General Hospital's picket line, where we spoke with Adrienne Geer, president of the BC Nurses Union, about what ultimately led to this current job action and picket line at Vancouver General Hospital.
Today is the first day that we are escalating our job action to actually withdrawing labor. It's unfortunate, but this is where we're at. Nurses in this province can no longer hold the system together. My members rejected a tentative agreement. They made it very clear that the agreement does not address our working conditions, which includes very heavy workloads. There's simply not enough nurses. It includes violence. It includes not having enough support for nurses. And so here we are. And it's unfortunate, but nurses in this province are taking this step.
Afterwards, Geer explained the potential next steps for this current job action.
We will continue with job action until we're able to secure an agreement on behalf of our members. Members rejected the tentative agreement we did reach by 67%. And so, we did have some conversations yesterday with the employer, but they continue to maintain the position that they are not able to negotiate outside of the mandate that the government has sort of imposed. And so until we see some movement, I think, unfortunately, we are going to continue to see different forms of job action, including withdrawing labor.
As this job action has progressed, the BC government has been facing increasing pressure to work with both health employers and the BC Nurses Union in order to reach an effective deal.
The parties can only bargain within the mandate set by government. So what we need is government to show some leadership and insert themselves and help us find a path forward.
According to the BC Nurses Union, since this job action began, nurses have come forward to say that they are being threatened with discipline, warned by their employers that their professional licenses could be at risk, and have been pressured to perform non-nursing duties or work unauthorized overtime, despite the union's directives. In response, the BC Nurses Union plans to expand the strike action with more picket lines at other hospitals if progress with health employers has not been made. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Hi, My name is Nicole Hines, and I am here with Aaron Rosenberg. And I'm so excited about this because we're going to be talking about a community building project called ORCAR, and that involves turning a decommissioned diesel truck into an 18-foot glowing orca. So, Aaron, thank you so much for joining me on CJSF. How are you?
I'm doing great, Nicole. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. No worries at all. I'm really excited to hear more about this project. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ORCAR?
So the ORCAR is part car, part orca whale. It's a life-size metal orca whale on an old truck. It's a mobile art installation and interactive experience for people at festivals, in the public, and anyone curious about orca conservation.
Wow. Okay. So, like I mentioned, you know, you're basically turning a decommissioned diesel truck into this beautiful orca. So how many people have been working on this? And like, how often did you gather?
So it was built over 3 months at the Create Makerspace in Squamish. There was 30 of us working together on it as part of the Create Public Art program, learning different skills, design, metalwork, woodwork. And we worked really hard to bring this huge creature to life in that short time.
Yeah, that's so wild. And like, how did people find out about this? Like, I mean, you know, and what's the makeup of the group? Is it like artists?
So most people were new to art and new to making stuff in general. Part of the project was taking classes like metalwork and woodwork to learn the skills and then have a big project to contribute on together.
That is incredible. Like, that's so crazy. And then this pretty much started in Squamish, correct?
That's right.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So if I wanted to learn a little bit more about the orca and you mentioned that, you know, you guys would be at festivals and stuff like that. Like, where would I go in the online suite?
So we can be found online on our website, orcar.art. That's ORCAR.art. And it's also our Instagram handle. We're posting stories when we're driving around. You'll see us driving through Vancouver, Squamish, Merritt for Base Coast next week. So we've got a lot of fun events lined up this summer, and we're also looking for more opportunities to bring the ORCAR to people that are curious about orcas, about giant glowing art installations. So definitely reach out to us if you'd like to see the ORCAR, you know, at your event.
Absolutely. And what is like one of the things that you're most excited about when you think about the ORCAR?
So the story of the ORCAR is a story of transformation. It's transforming an old truck into a creature that's threatened by industrialization. But it's also a story about how we can transform as a society from one of consumption to regeneration. So what I'm most excited about is what people might feel when they come into contact with the ORCAR. Hopeful, inspired, awestruck, and humbled at the power of a real life-size orca in your midst.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so I've checked out the website, guys, and I noticed that because you mentioned Base Coast, I know you're going to be at like a couple other festivals, and definitely you're going to be at Burning Man, right?
It's definitely an important step on our journey. I think Burning Man is one of the inspirations. For the ORCAR, one thing that's special about having a mobile art installation is that you can invite people onto it to really get close and interact with the art. And Burning Man's a great example of that. But for us, we're really bringing part of that Burning Man ethos to BC, to the West Coast, and to some of the events that we cherish most.
Love it. Okay. And one thing I wanted to point is that I noticed that there was a demo day that you guys will be happening in July. Can you talk a little bit about demo day and what folks can expect if they, you know, show up for it?
Totally. And I'm really glad you mentioned this, Nicole, because the Orcar was created as part of a public art boot camp of sorts in Squamish. And all the groups that built art installations are showing them off at a really cool gallery night in Squamish. Oh, it's on July 18th. It's totally free, and it's hosted at the makerspace where these projects were built. So you can expect some beverages, some cool lighting, some music, and a chance to walk around the space and interact with a bunch of really cool installations and their creators. And it's totally free.
Okay, I love that, guys. Free. I love to say free 99. Take out the 99. It's completely free, guys. So I am definitely going to be putting the link to the website, which would include details about Demo Day as well, so you can get all of the info there. Is there anything that you might not have shared that you want to share? Because this is the time.
Well, one inspiration for this is just how can we help protect orca whales? They're a keystone species. They're a totemic animal from where we live. And I just want to say that, you know, the three most important things we can do is to support Chinook salmon, reduce pollution in the oceans, and reduce noise. So when you think about, you know, protecting our oceans and protecting orcas, those are the actionable things that we can do to support their recovery and really protect this environment that we're so lucky to be a part of.
See, that is why I asked that question. What a wonderful, wonderful comment there. I appreciate that. If you wouldn't mind plugging the website again so that, you know, if people want to get more information and maybe if, you know, there's a festival that they're, you know, producing and they want to connect with you, where should they go again, please?
You can find us orcar.art. That's a website and it's our Instagram handle.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Aaron. I navigated through the website. I took a look at, there's like some video guides when you go to the website so you can actually see what it looks like. And it is pretty awesome because not only, I think it fits like to what, 20 people?
That's right.
Roughly. But it's also, I don't know if you wanted to like chat real quick about like the lighting aspect of the piece?
Sure, yeah. The lighting is one of the standout features. There's over 7,000 individually programmable LEDs on it. So the whole whale can play different patterns and effects, lighting moving around, the tail, the dorsal fin, the pectoral fins, the eye patches, everything lights up. So transforming from day to night is another story about the Orcar. And if you're lucky enough to see it at night at an event, it's really going to amaze you because our lighting show is of another world.
Well, Aaron, I want to thank you again for hanging out with me for a minute and talking about the Orcar. And I'm hoping that people, you know, are just as intrigued as I am. And if they can't make their way up to Squamish, that they get a chance to check you out at a festival this summer.
I appreciate the time and, you know, shout out to you, Nicole, for featuring our projects on the radio. I think the more we can bring the art to the people and let them know about all the cool creative stuff going on in our community, the better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, thank you so much, Aaron.
Thanks. Have a great one.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. Keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJSF 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.